What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
We got so many questions related to us as a family of five that we had to split it into two parts. So we're back to answer more questions about the chaos in our home.
Babe, we've done almost 210 episodes of Couple Things.
That's wild.
We've been one a week for like 5 years. Four years. That's pretty impressive. Good work, babe.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
You too.
And when we started this, we had zero kids. We were a family of two plus a dog. No shade, Nash. Family of three. We'll say family of three. And
no, then, when we started this, we had one kid.
No, you're right. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. We did. It was just, we had just had our first kid.
We did.
It was the week after our first kid was born that Couple Things was also born. Mm. And here we are.
Here we are.
We were just running through some numbers of the show for 2023. Doing our year in review, which you might say, you guys, it's March or April, whenever this is going live. Why are you just now doing your year in review? Because we had a baby and there's been other things that are more pressing. But we published 52 episodes last year.
Wow.
And they got an average of 151,000 views per episode.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good. Over 151,000.
That's so amazing.
Pretty excited about that. We have big plans for the podcast this year. So stay tuned. There's going to be some changes, some updated logos. There's going to be some fun topics, some fun travel involved. And we are doing a live show in May. It's not a Couple Things show, but Sean and Andrew are going to be at the I Am Mom Summit.
Yes.
May 10th, Salt Lake City, Utah. We'll link it down below.
It's an amazing event.
Yeah, we've been a part of it for 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
So if you're a mom looking for a fun weekend, Salt Lake City is a beautiful.
It's a celebration. It's educational. It brings together community. It's a lot of fun.
This will probably be the only live event we do. So if you want to come say what's up, please do. We had like 400 or 500 people there last year, and it was a blast. Anyway, I digress. Let's answer questions that were submitted by the audience about us as a family of five.
Yeah. First up. How do we continue to be intimate with three kids in the house?
When you say intimate, you mean?
I think they mean what you think they mean.
Naked tie. That does not surprise me that that's the first question.
It doesn't surprise me either. How would you answer that?
It's definitely like it becomes a logistical issue in some ways. You know, you're either going early in the morning or late at night. And we go to bed at 8:30, so we're either going early in the morning. I think we snuck one sometime during the afternoon. Am I right? Am I remembering that right?
I think so.
Got to just go lock the door when there's childcare there. Is that better or worse?
That's worse. We were definitely the only ones at the house.
And the kids were napping. Everybody was a nap. That's what it was. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, definitely not when childcare was at the house. That is weird.
So to answer your question, though, it's definitely a little difficult, more difficult.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets easier as the kids get older, but maybe not. I don't know. We don't have old kids yet. We have kids that stay in their rooms, which is great.
Yeah, there's a phase for everything, and this is not the phase for naked all the time. That's fine.
Number two, how did we know we were ready for a third baby? I've been questioning this every day.
Whether they're ready for a third baby.
Yeah. For us, I don't know if you're ever ready. I just knew that someone was missing in our family, and I think maybe selfishly, I made myself ready sooner than, I don't know how to say this, than I actually was, because I wanted to get through the process of my body, if that makes sense.
You wanted to have a bunch of kids close together.
I wanted our kids to be close in age for like the social dynamic. I wanted to be able to like get through another pregnancy at an earlier age. I don't know. It was kind of a selfish decision, but I also was, I wanted to get it over with. I don't know how to say that, the pregnancy.
That's going to make me sound horrible. The baby phase is super intense, the diaper phase and all of it. So it's like, I think I was actually thinking about this the other day in the car. It's so hard to do it like this. You know, if you wait for your first kid to be 4 or 5 years old and then you have another baby, like you're not simultaneously raising two kids in the same way, you know? So spacing it out, I think, does disperse the load a little bit. We kind of just crammed it all in there together.
We did.
And I think the hopeful result, what we're banking on, based off of my experience growing up and from, I guess, mentors of ours, is like, it's going to be a tough couple of years. But when they grow up, then it'll be like really, really fun. They'll be close. The family dynamics will be like, you know, we'll all be doing similar activities and events at similar levels. So we kind of knew we wanted three, mm-hmm. and we weren't really ready, is what you're saying.
But it's a really hard question to answer. Like, we both knew we wanted another one. We didn't really know when. We got pregnant with Jet when Drew turned a year. When Jet turned 1 year old, I knew I wasn't ready yet. I still needed more time to work on my health and work on my mind and get under control. So when Jet was like a year and a half, it felt more under control to start trying.
And we're glad we did.
Yeah.
Little babies, man. Third question. What's been your favorite thing about your spouse with baby number three?
I think my favorite thing has been watching you with the bigs, with Drew and Jet. It's been really fun to see you kind of take on your new role and being like super hands-on with them all day, every day while I have the baby. So it's been really cool to watch.
I appreciate that. I'm amazed that Sean has created these family systems and schedules and getting all the kids to the right place and how do you make that work. Like, I think she did a lot of front-end work, and now to see how we're benefiting from that, where we're with our kids a really healthy amount of time. They're with other kids a really healthy amount of time. They're learning. They're getting out of the house. They're having fun. They're playing all the things. And just to, I guess, we're almost like reaping the benefits now. So it's just, I guess my favorite thing is being impressed with how you've structured things for our family. Thank you.
Thank you.
The kid just did ice skating for the first time last night.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I was sitting there thinking it was the best day of my life watching them. It was like, you know, they've been on the ice maybe two times for a total of 10 minutes each.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to, I did not grow up ice skating. That whole world is super new to me. Drew went out there and was like very timid and adorable, mm-hmm. listening and, you know, following the straight line when she was asked to. And Jet was just like
carnage,
sprinting, falling all the time.
We only knew of like the opportunity because my dad played hockey for 20 years. So I remember him bringing it up to me multiple times of like, you should look into ice skating lessons, especially for Jet. Like, hockey would be really physical for him.
Are you saying that word weird? Hockey?
Hockey?
Hockey.
Hockey?
Hockey? I say hockey.
Hockey?
Hockey.
Hockey. I don't know. But it was really cool. My dad went with me on Drew's first lesson. So it was like me and my dad and Drew. And it was so special. And then when we came home, I was like, Andrew, you have to go to the next one. We're going to take the whole family. And they let Jet try. And it was really, really special. I don't know if either of them will have a passion for ice skating, but as of right now, they both love it.
They're interested in it. And I think like the earlier you can introduce the kids to something, the better it will set them up for success.
Also, something I'm noticing, this is a side tangent, to parents of young ones. I think I might have made a little mistake. Not that I want Drew to be a part of gymnastics. I don't care. If that's what she loves, that's what she loves. But gymnastics was the very first thing that you could do age-wise. Like in Nashville, they have like this little program where they can go for a couple hours. It's almost like a daycare. I think I might have burnt her out of it because that was the only place they could go. They went so often. And it's really cool with ice skating now. They can only go once a week and they're just like itching to go back once a week.
Mm. It's kind of like it's a fun treasure hunt to see what they're interested in, see what they like doing. It's so fun. Fourth question. How on earth do you take Bear with you on date nights? My 6 week old would be screaming the whole time.
Mm. Little colicky 6 week old. I don't know. It just kind of worked. We don't take him on date nights anymore, but I think we took him on probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
The first 7 weeks.
Our date nights are shorter now.
Yep.
Like 1.5, 2 hours.
We also do it around his bedtime. So like we're home before it's time to put him down for bed. We take a bottle. I nurse.
Yeah.
We usually try to time it so that when we're going to dinner, he's like eaten. And it, usually it's like time for him to sleep. And so I just hold him and he sleeps.
But it was one of our first date nights. We went to go get sushi and Bear was really fussy. And it was definitely disruptive to our normal date night. But I think the way I viewed it at least was, hey, we probably won't get uninterrupted conversation here tonight or even for a while, weeks, you know, with the newborn and 2 other kids running around the house, it's hard to have a dedicated conversation. But it's like, it's the practice of going on date night. We dressed up. We liked that exercise. And it was like a change up from that postpartum fog with a newborn. So I think it's just like adjust your expectations thing. Go on the date and realize that it's not going to be maybe a easy flowing conversation because, you know, there will be a baby there.
Mm-hmm. Just changing your expectations for sure. Number 5, did you have an ideal timeline in mind for the space between each child?
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled BABBEL.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply. All right, as a kid, I used to love when my parents would sit down and play a game with us or do any activity. And right here in our hands, we have the KiwiCo box, which is the activity of all activities for young kids.
The colorful chemistry set, to be specific. So with Drew and Jet and Bear, we try to have really intentional playtime. And that's hard because they're all different ages and kind of in different developmental kind of phases of life. I love with KiwiCo that each month we get boxes specific to their ages and kind of like the activity development phase that they're in. So each box, this one's the colorful chemistry set. This has to do with science, but especially with Bear, it can be really hard with a 4-month-old to know like how to interact with him where he needs to be at 4 months old. And I love in these crates, they actually have cards that say, here are activities or things you can do specific to Bear that will help him identify colors or whatever it is. I love KiwiCo.
There's always something new for kids to discover, like learning about the science of ice cream, engineering robots, or doing science experiments, which our kids have loved recently. Sean is currently holding, as she said, the colorful chemistry kit, which has provided hours of entertainment for our kids. They look forward to their new crate every month, and this one kept him really engaged. We got to experiment with mixing oil and water, mixing different colors, and watching how different things react. It was so fun. We basically created our own little chemistry lab with the kids, and we could feel their excitement when they got to play around and mix things together. Plus, it barely made a mess. So it was really quick to clean up and to use again another day. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month of any crate at KiwiCo.com when you use code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code COUPLE. I knew I wanted them close, God willing, you know, but since I'm an only child, the only reference I have is basically Andrew's family, and all of his siblings are really close together, and seeing the dynamic of how, I don't know, similar life phases they're all in is really, really fun. So I kind of knew I wanted that. What about you?
Yeah, my siblings are like 18, 22 months apart from each other, and we're pretty close. So in my mind, it was as close together as possible. We had our first baby. I realized from our doctor that we couldn't try for the second baby until Drew was one. Mm-hmm. So then that kind of set our timeline for us. It was like as soon as healthily possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I mean, but there's costs and benefits to all of it. If you have spaced out kids, probably be a little easier parenting, maybe. No, there's no such thing as easy. Who am I kidding? But there are pros and cons. Six, how have you changed as a parent with each child?
I, as of right now, have been feeling like with each kid, I've been fighting this feeling of going, I don't know, it's like two people that I'm like fighting. And it's me wanting to be, have like my time, be like a entrepreneur, go-getter, work really hard, but also be a mom at the same time. And I feel like with Drew, I was able to balance that pretty well where I could still have my work life. With Jet, I still felt like I could have that. With Bear, I feel like this is the first time I'm getting to a phase where I don't really care about work. And I don't mean that in like a harsh way because I love what we do. But it's like the priority. I feel so consumed with our kids right now that, and they're obviously like the most important thing. So it's just like the, how full your buckets are. I'm kind of like redistributing.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. We're definitely still figuring it out. If I can help, let me know. But you might be sitting there thinking, well, what is it that you even do for work? And I think it's best to break it down into kind of buckets. So in one bucket is we film a ton of content. We put out over 2,000 pieces of content last year, podcasts, newsletters, short form, YouTube videos, a bunch of stuff, right? So we're doing media, one. Then we have a bunch of calls with like other founders, the other bucket. Founders of companies, we like do consulting. We also do media for them. Sean sits on boards. So there's like meetings is how on a week-to-week basis we break it down. We have a team of people who help produce content, help manage the schedule, help edit the content, make, you know, relevant ideas, share all the stuff on different platforms. Managing that is another way we spend our time. And then appearances, mm-hmm. traveling, going places is kind of the fourth bucket. You put all that together, it's like we could be spending 100 hours a week working, mm-hmm. if we wanted to. And sometimes if it is really exciting to think like, oh wow, oh we got an appearance request in Dubai, and then they wanted us in Israel, mm-hmm. And then we could fit that in, like go from Israel to Colorado and then back to Paris. Those are all real opportunities. And then you think, wait, I am a little more prone to like FOMO and getting caught up in the excitement. You take a step back, you're like, whoa, what do we actually want these next couple of years to look like? And I think in my mind, it's like you have 4 or 5 years of this magic age where my daughter thinks that I'm a king or, you know, a prince, and we're dancing and balancing those two worlds, it's very difficult.
I also think it's gonna stay like that, because the first 5 years are magical because they're so little and you get so much time with them. But then they go off to school full time. But yet it's so important to be a part of that mm-hmm. period of life as much as possible. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy, guys. It's crazy. So we don't know what to do at the moment.
How have we changed as a parent? I think one is, as you have more, if this is the size of your plate, I think your plate kind of can grow, but the stuff on your plate definitely grows. And mm-hmm. so there's less margin for other things. There's less margin for error and like communication and getting caught up in different things. And so at some point, stuff starts getting squeezed off the plate. So that's one thing. Two, I guess, is a derivative of that, where it's you start really thinking about priorities and perspective. And then the third thing that I'm really excited about is you can't control it all. So I think in a lot of, I was just talking to my cousin who's thinking about having a third kid. And he's like, well, I just want to make sure that I'm being the best parent I can to the two kids that I have. And I feel like if we have another one, I won't be able to be as present or involved or, you know, engaged. And I'm like, I think in some way optimizing parenting can look like stepping back. You know, mm-hmm. It's like kind of healthy for the kids to have a little domain that they can play in, make mistakes in, learn. So it's always a constant battle.
Number seven, I will add to that too. It's like, I still haven't figured out how to prioritize each kid right now. I felt like with two kids, we had figured out how to like give enough attention to each of them. And I think that's where I've changed as a parent right now, is the logistical side in my head of trying to make sure that all of our kids are equally tended to is a lot, but it's been fun. Okay. Number seven. Do you feel like you went through the roommate phase with each other after having a baby? If so, how did you get out of it?
I think you use those words verbatim.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say we did.
Go through the roommate's phase. What? Explain what the roommate's phase is for those listening and myself.
I think the roommate's phase is natural to happen after a baby. You go from being husband and wife pre-baby to being just mom and dad who are working on taking care of a little baby. And your life gets really full and filled with like the new life that you're trying to figure out. So instead of being husband and wife, you're only mom and dad. And so you kind of forget about the husband and wife side. So it's like roommates, like you're sharing a house, you're raising a kid together.
You're trying to figure out, hey, who's going to do the dishes tonight, or, you know, break down the chores. And it's mm-hmm. less of a romantic friendship, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's more like business and getting back to the like lovey-dovey husband and wife, and seeing your spouse as like not just dad, not just like, oh, here's your list of things that we have to get done today. You're sleeping with the baby, I'm sleeping with the bigs, make sure you get the grocery. Like, it's roommates. It's just like a list of to-dos.
That was one thing that changed my perspective. I think about often when there was a phase where I was like, Sean, you're such a great mom. You're doing such a great, like, anytime I'd give her praise, it'd be like, it'd all be mom focused. And you were like, hey, I also want to be your friend and your wife.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get out of it, the roommate's phase?
I don't know. I think we're still in it, probably.
TBD, if you got ideas, let us know. Sean, how do you feel? Sean, do you feel like you put a lot of pressure on yourself with breastfeeding? Has this changed over time?
Yeah, a lot of pressure. Breastfeeding is really hard, and we kind of live in a world and society that puts a lot of pressure on moms to do it in any way, shape, or form you can. I had a really hard breastfeeding journey with Drew, where being a first-time mom, I didn't really know what I was doing at all. I didn't know about lactation consultants. I didn't, nothing. So she had a really hard time latching, so I ended up exclusively pumping, which is so hard. And I did that for 6 months. And then Jet nursed really well, and I made it to 6 months and then dried up, like, instantly. So I think I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself with Bear to get to at least 6 months to give them equal opportunity.
I have a couple friends that are determined to breastfeed as long as possible. I do not feel that way. I know that it puts a lot of stress on you, that is frustrating, that I can't help at all. So I'm kind of like, yo, let me bottle feed as soon as you're comfortable with it.
It's just, it's also really hard because, like, once you start breastfeeding, it's such a task to stop, and it's such a task to pump, and it's such a task to, like, there are times during the day where Andrew will say, like, let me just feed him a formula bottle. And I would love that. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to pump no matter what now, which takes time. And then cleaning the pump parts and now getting my body back on schedule for him, it's just like constantly an equation in my head. So it's a lot.
You're doing great.
Thank you. Okay, next one. What is one thing each of your children have taught you? Wow. Drew teaches me to slow down, to be more empathetic, to explain things better, and not brush things off. She's such a little feeler, and she has to, like, understand everything. Why did you say that? Or why did you do this? It's not just, like, impulsive and fun to her. It's like she has to understand it. And it can be so easy as a parent to, like, brush that off. But she's really taught me the importance of, like, slowing down to teach and explain and dig into something.
For me, it's because of that same trait she has of listening so well. It's an accuracy of my words and not saying anything, just trying to be really diligent with saying what I mean, not saying what I don't mean. And, like, you know, I need to be kind to her, strategic in a lot of ways, like teaching her the alphabet or colors. It's like, how do I capture her attention for as long as possible without making her feel too much the center of attention? It's like, it's been a good mental challenge, like puzzle, because she's so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
She's hilarious too.
I would say Jet. I saw Jet taught me this, but then it was, like, reiterated in a Instagram meme, whatever, of the importance of, like, embracing how wild and wide open and free he is. I feel like I can be like a clench my fist type person and try to, like, hold on to the reins and control things. And with him, he's so free and wild and wants to just dive headfirst into the mud and do all the wild stuff. And I think it's really important for me as his mom to do it with him and not hold back. Let's get down and dirty in the bugs. Let's fall on our butt 1,000 times on the ice and laugh it off. Like, really getting in there with him and being wide open and free.
Yeah, I like that a lot. He is so excited in this beautiful, innocent way for so much. And sometimes your inclination is like, no, I don't want to. If we go outside and play in the snow, we have to get ready and put our snowsuits on and the boots and the gloves and the hats and the whole thing. Or do you really want to go on a bike ride right now? Because then that means we have to get our shoes and then our helmets and then, you know, whatever. There's like all the logistics of it. And I have been challenged to just overcome that hurdle of what would I rather be doing? Sitting on a couch, cuddling? We don't even have cuddly kids at all. Mm-hmm. They're not cuddly at all. Maybe because of us, but like just saying yes, because it's a pretty harmless ask, and it's a really fun way to be involved with their interests. And Bear, for me, I just get lost in that guy's eyes and smile. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think what he's taught me is, man, the whole thing goes by so quick. He's going to probably be our last baby. Drew is 4 and a half now. How can I just be as present as possible? Get lost in his eyes. Look at his smile. I love it.
I'd say Bear has taught me humility. I think there's part of us with a third kid that thought we had figured it out and that it would be a breeze. And he kind of humbled us from day one in being so different than the other two in every way, shape, and form. So I've just been humbled by him in the greatest way.
Wouldn't want it any other way. What are some of your older kids' favorite activities to keep them occupied for longer than a few minutes? Pool's been clutch.
Yeah.
Bikes have been clutch. They ride the Strider bikes or will go outside. Sandbox was big. Trampoline.
Art table was huge. Santa brought an art table for Christmas this year, and it's just filled with like crayons, markers, funky scissors, you know, like the zigzag scissors and stuff, different paper, and they love it.
Yeah. Our strategy has kind of just been like set up a pretty free environment that all the super harmful things are removed from and just let them run wild, do whatever they want to do. So like sometimes they'll play family, which has been adorable, like a new thing they've been doing. Sometimes they'll play Hot Wheels. Jed will just take a car and put it on the wall. But it's like we actually have had the most success in doing activities that they started. It's not like, hey, let's set up this whole thing for you. It's whatever they have grown to be interested in that they'll do the longest.
Sidewalk chalk.
Sidewalk chalk.
It's a huge one.
Science experiments.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure the best.
So fun.
Do you feel like you're getting less strict with each child?
Yeah, we've alluded to it a couple times with the plate, with the control concept.
Drew was definitely like first kid. We had our ways. We had our boundaries. We enforced them. You know, we were stricter with the schedule. A bunch of that. I feel like we are pretty strict on our most important boundaries, like kindness, manners, like obedience to a certain extent. But as far as like scheduling and stuff, we're getting less strict.
Yeah, we used to have Drew down for a nap in the right environment, like blackout curtains, sound machine, crib, with the sleep sack or whatever. And now it's like Bear sleeps in the car seat during date night. It's great.
Yeah.
You kind of just realize what's important, what the kid's capable of, and how you can figure out life between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any emotional breakdowns since having Bear? What were they about?
Yes. I think it's normal to have emotional breakdowns. It's a massive, massive transition and a lot for moms to go through and dads. What were they about? Being overwhelmed, feeling like I couldn't manage it all, feeling like I was failing at it, feeling under equipped to like figure out Bear's needs. I had an emotional breakdown because I missed the big kids. I missed my husband. You know, a lot of them.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
When did you start to feel yourself again after having each baby? Mentally, physically, emotionally, etc.
We say 4 months. And we're not there yet. If that answers your question.
Yeah. Did your kids ever go through a biting, pushing, hitting stage with each other or bear? What did you do? We're doing 1-2-3 magic, which actually has worked phenomenally well. And it's a really good, I think, discipline for the parent as well, where it gives you a mechanism to not just have to default to like your emotional yelling or whatever, like grabbing. It's like, okay, I have a tool in my toolbox. Mm-hmm. Go sit on the stairs for however old you are. And
so a minute for every year.
Yeah. And the kids, Jet is started when he was really 2.
Yeah.
And understands it now. So that's been crucial. Yes, there's been headbutts, not too much biting because we talked about that a lot because mm-hmm. they bit us.
Yeah.
Not each other. And I also think we're super fortunate, Sean, that Drew is so patient with Jet.
Yeah.
Jet like tackles Drew. And it's not like an aggressive hit. That'll happen sometimes, but she's kind of just goes with it. So I think our kids have helped us out in that sense.
Yeah. The 1-2-3 magic is great because it basically teaches a parent how to react, what works and what doesn't. So it basically strips you of your emotion, and you're teaching kids, like, you basically give them warnings or cues of that they've done something not great. So if Jet goes against something that we've said or a rule, you say like, okay, that's one. And it tells him to rethink whatever he's doing. And if you manage to get to 3, they sit on the stairs.
And it teaches them this like cushion.
Except for violence. Violence is an automatic 3.
Correct. Yeah.
But yeah, we just talk about it a lot. And we try not to respond emotionally, which is really hard to do. Okay. Do you currently go to marriage counseling? We just started.
Yeah. We did premarital counseling, which is amazing. We should talk about that at some point, actually. Changed our whole perspective. And then we did kind of one-off counseling, but we're going to do this more consistent program, which I'm excited about.
Me too. Would you recommend couples go to marriage counseling before kids or after? Always. I think it's really good for maintenance. I think it's really good for teaching just how to like understand each other better. Yeah, we've always said it's better to go to counseling when things are good so that things don't get bad.
Yeah. I'm continually humbled by, you said this with the kids, it's like you think you got it figured out. And like you think you got marriage figured out, but then whatever, you lose a loved one, and then there's this new dynamic of grief, or you have another kid, and there's this new dynamic of another life, or big life decisions like a new job, or do we move locations, pop up, or whatever. You know, even like political cycles come up and conversations you've never had before pop up. And it's like it is an ever-changing, ever-dynamic exercise, marriage. Mm-hmm. And it really is quite the conundrum trying to figure out, like, okay, I have so much that I need to work on. So what's the appropriate way for you to navigate that while dealing with the consequences of what I need to work on, having patience and giving me space while I'm working on that, communicating when I'm stepping on your toes with whatever's wrong? It's like, I think counseling always.
Yeah. Counseling always.
Right.
I think life is never the same. So.
And we talk a lot, dude. We talk, I think, probably more than we have a podcast together. Like, we're working through so many issues and people don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And we need it. So if we need it, maybe you need it. But I'm not pointing fingers.
What's been one of the best days we've had as a family of 5?
Went on a couple walks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It had to be a weekend. I feel like it was 2 or 3 weekends ago. Farmer's market, pool.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice weather. We sat outside. That's what's beautiful about this phase of life. It's like nothing spectacular needs to happen. You could sit there in the playroom giggling with each other and that'd be the best day. And I think that's what it's been for me.
Same. Just a day spent together.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wild. Just a day spent together.
Did we tell them about our family exercise that we did? The workshop we did over 3 days?
We did.
Let's rehash our family values since you just said one of them.
Togetherness.
Yes. Family time.
Faith.
Generous stewardship.
I don't know.
The last one. Come on. This is what we need. We need it. Playfulness. Uh-huh. Playfulness. Those are the East family five values.
I think those are four.
What?
Those four.
And togetherness. Togetherness, family time, generous stewardship, faith, and playfulness.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, we could talk about that more. Sean, as an only child, what's something you're excited about in terms of your kids having siblings?
Having each other as adults. I, being an only child, have gone through so many different phases of life, lived in so many different areas, and had to spend a lot of time building friendships that are amazing and the closest we could ever be, but they'll never be siblings. And I think having that community of like a sibling relationship as an adult is so cool and so important. Nieces, nephews, like everything.
Yeah. If you're able to have a strong relationship with your sibling, I don't think there's any better relationship. Like the depth, friendship, the depth of knowledge, the shared experiences, it's amazing. Like, yeah, it's really special.
19. Do you think, I love this. Do you think Bear will keep his blue eyes since he's the only one? No, not a chance. The amount of people who have actually been in our house, even like nurses who are like 100% he's keeping his blue eyes. There's no chance.
There is a chance. My dad had blue eyes. Your mom has blue eyes. There's
I know,
a chance.
But both Drew and Jet had like crystal blue eyes to the time that they were like 6 months.
We'll see.
Literally, Jet had crystal blue eyes. No.
Last question. What's the difference between how Drew treats Bear as a sister versus how Jet treats him as a brother?
Drew treats Bear. I actually think they treat him very similarly.
They're both super sweet to him, generally.
Jet naturally is just more physical. Like, he's just... he's so strong and physical that you have to like teach him how to be overly gentle proportionately to his like size and strength. But I really do think they treat him very, very similar. They're both so gentle, so calm, so loving and nurturing in the ways that they think, like that they believe is nurturing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Drew, if there's a difference, I think it's Drew does act a little bit more like a mom. So like, mm-hmm. She'll sit there and play with toys like she watches you play with toys.
Mm-hmm.
And Jet kind of says like, oh, it's okay. And like, yeah. With his big old mitt hands.
But like Jet tried to do something really sweet today and tried to give Bear water and basically waterboarded him. And this was like literally as we're watching him trying to like teach him like, no. And then out of nowhere, he just dumps a whole can of water on his face. But yes, I think they treat him very similarly.
Yeah. What a ride. What a ride. We're going to do a couple more of these solos. And we are in, this is not the jolly phase of life, it doesn't seem. We're figuring a lot out. But the way I navigate it is by knowing that it's a phase, you know? So we're going to continue sharing podcasts as long as we're good. And that's a broad word, good. And hopefully walk through some of those phases with you, because based off these questions, it seems like we're all in it together. So
we are.
It ain't always fun, but it's always worth it, right? Anyway, thanks for listening. This is our 200-something episode.
Which is wild.
Really fun.
We got at least another 200 to go.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Please, if you have any advice for us, leave a comment down below. We are on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of them. So follow wherever you like to listen. We're going to keep giving you more of this because it seems like y'all like it. And we like hanging out with you.
If you've got any topic suggestions, please put them in the comments below. And we'll chat about it.
That's all we got. I'm Andrew.
I'm Sean.
The East Fam. Out. All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode, and again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.